I left a comment on Mylan's Facebook saying that I was going to start my own panel called Foreskin Bromance in Games.
Dude, that would have been awesome.
And then the comment under my comment was Mylan's mom. And I felt really bad.
Yeah.
Sometimes my humor is just terrible.
Welcome to Rated NA number 91 for the website nerdappropriate.com. How's it going, everybody? It's a nighttime. It's a late night with Nerd Appropriate again.
Ooh, it is.
Did you guys? Did you guys watch the giant dish? I don't know if we can say the other word because it's copyrighted.
The super game.
The important game.
Oh, the great game.
The great game.
I mean, the great travesty.
Oh poor Hillary.
You know, I do feel bad for you. I would have been totally fine with the 49ers winning if you didn't have douche nozzle as a quarterback. So
everything what? Else is fine.
I hate that. You cannot like him.
It's fine. Whatever. They totally didn't call that last play, that non-hold. I mean,
they
that non-call.
The whole, there was,
yeah. That was there crazy. Was, crazy.
He pushed off, too. There was a couple penalties there.
Yep.
You know what this feels like?
What does it feel like?
It feels like I'm in a foreign language class. And every time I'm around people and they talk about games that I don't understand, whether it's a rare Dutch RPG or a sporting event of some sort, and I don't understand it. It baffles the mind, and it's kind of intriguing. I like it makes me want to learn more.
I'm going to tell really quick anecdote about this podcast, and to our longtime listeners, we originally conceptualized maybe doing a bunch of different shows on this podcast.
Yes.
And one of the shows that we wanted to do was one in which we would put live sports on TV and just record Ash narrating the sports, like calling the game, not having any knowledge of sports at all. And that was going to be one of our shows.
Yeah.
The funnier thing to me is that I've known Scott a really long time. And back in probably high school, maybe late middle school, early high school, we would like on occasion watch sports like at our friend Andrew's house or something. And Scott literally like did not watch any sports at the time.
Yeah.
And we'd be watching like hockey or something. And he'd be like, I don't know what's happening on the screen. Why are we watching this? And then he'd make jokes about it the whole time. And he's completely 180'd and now is into all sports. And,
yeah. A few weekends of homework in high school really turned that around, spending a summer.
Well, Ash. I'll have you know that you would get along with the Big Bang Theory really well because their promo let us know that nerds don't get football.
Oh, boy. Oh, man.
Stupid show. It's so stupid.
Oh, boy.
And yet, it's probably one of the most popular shows.
I know, because you know why? Because normal, quote-unquote, people can laugh at the nerds and feel good about it because they're in on the joke.
A goo.
Oh. Let's do the rundown.
Anyways.
Well then.
So today on the podcast, we're going to talk a little bit about PAX, as we will be doing until we go to PAX and probably after we come back from PAX. Some Witcher 3 news came out recently, and that's really exciting.
It's good news.
Yeah. Sony has a big announcement coming up at the end of the month, and there's going to be more Star Wars movies than you bargained for. So you should pray they do not alter the deal further. And then in our reviews and discussion, Ash saw the movie Warm Bodies. A couple of us started playing Dead Space 3 just today in the past couple hours. And then Matt and I are going to talk a little bit about a Windows 8 / Xbox Live / Surface RT game called Skulls of the Shogun that came out last week. And then in our Nerd Appropriate Question of the Week, we're going to talk more about, we're going to speculate wildly about the PS4 with what you think it should have and what would make you want to buy it. So with that being said, Matt, do you want to tell us what's going on?
Yeah.
You can just say.
I kind of don't.
There's a lot of, I have life decisions going on right now that I'm in the midst of that we're not going to talk about on the podcast, but yeah, otherwise,
male or female? That is the question.
Am I going to tuck it or am I just getting rid of it entirely?
Two girls all the time on the podcast. It's going to be great.
No, I'm trying to think if I did anything special that we're not going to talk about later. I played a lot of Skulls of the Shogun.
I have questions.
And I watched some movies. I rewatched American Psycho for the first time since it came out. I don't know. When's the last time you guys have watched that movie?
I think, gosh, when it was on Showtime a long time ago.
When it came out, essentially?
Yeah, a really long time ago.
I suggest rewatching it now because as like a full-fledged adult as opposed to when it came out like 01 or whatever, mm-hmm. It made more sense to me and was a lot more... You know, it's not enjoyable is not the right word. I guess kind of enjoyable, but it was more engaging. That's a better way to put it. It was a way more engaging movie now than it was in 2001. I remember in 2001, I like kind of liked it, but I kind of didn't get it. And the ending made no sense to me. And it just was like, it was just a weird movie. It was just kind of like, well, that was weird and kind of unsettling. And now I watch it and I was way more like engrossed by it and into the story. So I recommend rewatching American Psycho if you have not rewatched it in a long, long time.
Excellent.
And other than that, I think we rewatched Dark Knight too, which was phenomenal still to this day. So
always good.
Yeah. I'm Batman.
Yeah.
Oh, that was good. Melissa did
Batman grunting jokes. She was like, there's like a scene where he's talking to Lucius and he's like, Lucius, you can go to the screen, you can do whatever you need to do. And he's like, okay, Bruce. And then Melissa's like, wait, he knows who he is. Why is he grunting right now? And I'm like, I think the Fox just because he feels like it, I guess.
Who made that decision? I just really want to know. It really takes me out of the whole experience for him to all of a sudden be like, brr.
It is very good to go to the thing.
It was kind
of rocky after getting punched a lot.
Yeah, I can see that. That was totally Christian Bale's decision.
It had to be.
Yeah, I don't know, man. No bueno.
How about you, Hillary?
Bring back Michael Keaton.
How about you, Hillary? What have you been up to?
Let's see. I always say the same thing all the time, but this time I really, really mean it. I've been working a lot. So I work for a European company and my boss was in town and that was fun. So I got to do a bunch of work. Wow. Yeah. And then also I'm helping out BioWare with their PAX East planning, which is really, really fun. And yeah, I've done a lot of other things outside of work for once. So I put an offer on a house, didn't get the house.
Oh. Yeah,
didn't get the house, got put it as a backup offer. So we'll see what happens. And I've been watching copious amounts of HGTV and DIY Network.
best house advice I can give you is don't get too, like, don't buy into the hype.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? Like, I know you guys are doing this, but like, have a budget, set it, stick to it. Don't worry about people. It's like so pushy. Everybody gets, it's like car salesmen. It's just, everybody's so pushy and like forceful with it. It's like, gotta do this. You gotta do this. It's just like, everybody calm down. I'm pretty sure we'll figure it out.
It's okay. You can, over 20 years, 20 grand doesn't mean anything.
Yeah,
huh?
Yeah. It does. Trust me. It does. It means a whole hell of a lot.
That's a lot of money. Yeah. So, yeah. So that's my life.
Shit.
What about you guys? How about you, Scott?
So many adult things happening.
I know.
Oh.
Adult things, yeah.
I mean, we're all naked right now.
Yeah.
Late night.
It's the albino cast.
I actually went to a minor league hockey match.
Oh, I saw that.
Wait, yeah. What's happening to this podcast?
Yeah.
No. Well, I mean,
sports and houses and adult decisions.
Yeah. Well, I've never really been, I haven't been to a hockey game in a long time, and I'm not really here to talk about the sports, but I do think it's just interesting how there's some sort of etiquette for fighting, you know?
Yeah.
And it kind of comes out of nowhere, too, because literally there was a stop in play, and so they go to reset the puck, they drop the puck, one guy hits it, and then two guys on the opposite side of the ice just throw their gloves down and start fighting, you know what I mean? So they're not. It's not even the physical contact, it's just them probably just talking shit to each other, and they finally get pissed off enough, and they're like, okay, that's it, I'm done. And it's funny, you know, because Ash brought this up earlier. It's funny because when they fight in hockey, they're on ice, right? So they grab each other's jerseys, and they just punch in a circle, you know? It's kind of
They do a lot of back of the head punches, too.
Yeah.
Yeah.
There's a lot of just swinging around the back of the head and, like, hitting him in the neck and stuff. It's weird. It's a weird fighting stance.
It's weird. And then what was kind of funny about this whole thing was that there was a family behind me that I think the wife or the female in the relationship, she did not care for the violence of the game, and she somehow was not prepared for that.
Right? Is that a hockey game?
At a hockey game, right? So, and I think like the dad was into it, and like there were kids there, but then like she starts like piping up, and she's like, "I don't really condone this fighting and what they're doing." And then the dad had to chime in and be like, "Yeah, they're just morons. Or something. They don't.
What?
This is just idiotic behavior. I don't even know. You know,
seriously.
You know, because he was just trying to be like, yeah, whatever you say. It's totally stupid. You know, and I'm sure the kids were there too. I didn't want to like turn around, but it was just weird stuff like that.
So dead eye him.
It's 3 20-minute quarters. I was like, well, you know, a quarter is kind of like implies that there's 4 things, but that's fine. Yeah, 20 minutes. That's cool.
Oh boy.
So yeah, that was my anecdote. In addition to playing some games, I'm still playing Star Wars Connect, and
good lord, and why?
It's because I'm like a masochist, you know.
You just love those dance competitions?
Yeah. Yeah. Man, I'm going to tell you, Harmonix better look out, because Star Wars Connect Galactic Dance Party.
I can't really believe that you're really playing this game.
Like, all I hear is a cantina music.
I kind of feel like you're saying it to be funny, but then in the back of my mind, I realize that you're serious. You are actually playing Star Wars Connect.
I am playing Star Wars Connect, but at the same time, I'm just like shaking my head, you know, in a disapproving manner like this.
You're the type of person that probably looks at poop porn.
What? Oh, God. Good lord.
You're like,
colonics.
This is fucking horrible, but I can't look away.
I think it just proves not only how much Scott loves Star Wars, but how much he loves gamer points.
Like, yeah.
He just must have
gamer
them.
Score for the win.
So, Scott, you would actually be very happy. I've actually, over not last weekend, but the weekend before, I played Just Dance. I know that's not your favorite, but it was fun with the Kinect.
Better with Kinect. I just can't. I have a hard time not finishing something that I start. So even when Kinect Star Wars is like, as bad as it is, I can't not play it.
Yeah.
Yeah. Ash, do we always leave Ash?
unlike you weirdos, I've been playing video games.
Must be nice.
No, so you know, last weekend I actually played. Gosh, I played a long time with Scott and our friend Bill and our friend Derek, and we tried desperately. I don't know for how many hours did we try to kill Pyro Pete the Invincible in Borderlands 2.
Without Derek, it was pretty difficult.
Oh, yeah, we played for maybe 3 hours trying to kill one of the new raid bosses in Borderlands 2, and we came like, God, probably 9% of his life left, and we couldn't quite do it. And that was a lot of fun. I was making a joke with Scott that it got kind of started to remind me a lot of like World of Warcraft. Like we were calling out different like strategies and like where to stand and like run to
Scott,
one
DP.
Yeah. DPS more dots, Scott. And then when our buddy Derek joined, we were able to beat Pyro Pete. So that was fun.
And you know,
this is a pilot and alliteration is awesome.
Yes.
You true. Know what, you know, to back you up, the first thing that Derek said when he got online too, and we started firing, he goes, "Hey Scott, do you have res?"
It's true.
Yeah.
It's true. It is very World of Warcraft-esque. And then I played the new DLC all the way through with my wife and Derek and his fiance, and that was fun. And see what else. And today I picked up Dead Space 3, and we're going to talk about that in a little bit. Because spoiler alert, it's fucking awesome.
Pretty amazing. Great. So all of these games makes me think of one thing. And that's PAX East.
Heyo.
News.
I'm not really with it today, guys. So I'm sorry about
is
that.
Is it your goal every week to get a transition? You're like,
it's pretty
all
good.
Right.
Yeah,
it's
actually.
Pretty good.
It's pretty good.
Yeah,
last week's was incredible.
It was.
Yeah, it was. I'm pretty good, but not today.
That's all right.
So yeah, PAX East.
Yeah. So okay, so
guess what, guys?
We're going.
Oh, wait, we're going to talk about the news.
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 All right. So on the agenda, this is going off the rails. PAX East news. So I guess I have a huge announcement for you guys. Are you excited?
Let's hear it.
I am.
I'm excited.
I'm going to be on a panel.
Yay!
Woo! Can you tell me a little bit more about this panel?
We need to have some fanfare there, Scott.
Yeah.
I request fanfare.
There you go.
And the title of this panel is Foreplay, Romance in Games. So it should be cool. It's a bunch of us sitting on a stage talking about how much we like to romance virtual characters. It should be...
How much we like to fuck.
Yeah.
Yeah. Kind of, yeah.
I'm
probably
really
why I'm not on the panel.
See, well, can you tell who's on the panel, Hillary?
Yeah. So some of our very good friends at Press to Reset, Reset Transmission, Melissa and Anna will be on the panel, as well as Mylin, who's been a guest on our show a couple times. She's amazing. And it'll be moderated by Sean Baptiste of Harmonix fame and other things, because he's awesome.
Cool.
And another person that I don't really know very well, and I'm really excited to get to know her. So it should be a really good time, I think. And you should all come. It's Sunday, and we'll have more specifics later.
What was the panel name one more time?
Foreplay, Romance and Games.
I
that was a good voice.
I left a comment on Mylan's Facebook saying that I was going to start my own panel called Foreskin, Bromance and Games.
Dude, that would have been awesome.
And then the comment under my comment was Mylan's mom. And I felt really bad.
Yeah.
Sometimes my humor is just terrible. I still think we should have made the Foreskin panel.
Yeah.
There's always next year, Ash.
I know. We'll aim high.
So in other news.
Oh, wait, hold on. I got a joke real quick. Can I?
Oh, well,
I know the moment's passed.
It's always good when you stop everything for a joke.
It's been brewing.
I was going to say that you submitted the idea, but it got cut.
Oh!
Nice. I enjoy that.
That was good.
Okay, great. Moving on.
That was so witty. It was so witty. It took like time to charge up.
Yeah.
It was like super move.
It had
Scott
a cool
had
down.
Go, like,
yeah.
Scott had to go like on a wild hunt for that joke.
Ooh, very nice. Speaking of wild hunts, I got to be careful about how I say that.
Yeah.
The Witcher 3 was announced today.
Yeah.
And it's going to be a continuation of a storyline that we got in The Witcher 2. And I think it has to do with something having to do with Geralt's. Is it Geralt or Geralt?
Geralt.
Whatever. The white haired dude's girl. So he's going to go on a wild hunt to find his girl.
Well, the thing that I found to be the most exciting about this Witcher 3 news is that it's going to be huge in open world. Did you guys read that?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and like 20% larger than Skyrim.
It's incredible, right? They said if the world is, I guess, in the process of being built, but if you get on horseback, which kind of revealed that there's going to be horse travel. If you get on horseback, it's going to take over a half an hour to gallop from one end of the world to the other, which
that's
is
awesome.
Insane.
So look forward to that.
Yes, lots
so
of gallop.
Let's just hope they institute fast travel, lest we have a Dragon's Dogma.
Yes.
Which
yes.
is also a great game, but oh, man.
No fast travel. What else? So the Wild Hunt storyline was kind of teased a bit in Witcher 2. And essentially, you know, for those of you who are unfamiliar with the story, the Wild Hunt, they're more or less like the Ringwraiths, and they kind of are this mythical band of what would you call them, Scott?
Aren't they described as like beings from another plane of existence that sort of crossed over into ours?
Yeah.
To like collect souls or something like that? I think that's how the story goes.
Yeah, and the thing that's crazy is they reference them constantly in Witcher 2, but you never encounter them. It's like the biggest MacGuffin ever. You're just like, what the hell's the Wild Hunt? And so, I mean, to have essentially the whole idea of the third game referenced in the second game without any payoff in the second game was pretty ballsy.
I'm pretty sure they referenced it's referenced in the first game too.
Is it really?
Oh, yeah.
Wow, that's incredible. So I'm excited. Open world Witcher, you know, they're going to, they also said that it's going to be next gen. I think at this point, pretty much all the newly announced titles are going to be next gen. So
and the last.
Well,
game.
They were very diplomatic about how they said that, though. They said higher end platforms or something like that, which is next gen, but they can't say it.
No.
Sure.
Yeah.
God forbid.
So actually, Speaking of next gen and speculation. So I found that Sony's registering people to attend their conference where they're going to have some kind of big announcement. And the tagline for this event, it's an online event, is called Be the First to Know. So I have a feeling that it's going to be some kind of awesome announcement about PS4. And I've signed up.
This is the one that's pre-E3, right?
Yeah, it's happening on the 20th of February, so just a few weeks. Wow. It's going to be amazing.
Are you going to attend virtually?
Oh, you know it. Of course I am. Yeah.
Are you going to be the one who writes an article on behalf of nerdappropriate.com?
I'm
going to
say yes.
Tentatively, yes.
Tentatively.
Yes, and I will probably be live tweeting as well.
Good.
Excellent.
But not from the Nerd Appropriate page because I don't have access to that Twitter.
That can be easily arranged.
They keep me away.
We can give you access to that.
Yeah.
It only took almost a year to trust you enough to give you access to the Twitter account.
My favorite thing is I got access to the site like the first day.
Yeah, well, we hand that out willy-nilly.
Yeah. I was just like, can you post that article yourself? I'm like, okay.
That's more out of laziness than anything else.
True.
It's probably out of laziness why you don't have access to Twitter as well.
Yeah,
probably.
I'd like to hope so.
So
anyway,
speaking of being first to know, Star Wars. No, Bob Iger from Disney today announced that not only are we going to get Star Wars 7 through 9, but what are their names? Larry Kasdan and Simon. No, that's a not.
Simon Pegg,
famous leader, isn't it?
Yes.
Simon Kinberg are working on standalone Star Wars films based on characters within the universe.
Interesting.
So Darth Maul, clearly. Because they sold so much merch around that character that they need to sell some more merch around that character.
They do.
Excited, not excited. This feels kind of like a money grab at this point, doesn't it? But obviously Disney spent a lot of money on Star Wars. That's what they're going to be doing. They're going to try and put as much crap out as they can with it.
I may be in the minority here, but I think this is great because I think so many people have a passion for this franchise that in the right hands, I think we could see it go a lot of different ways. I mean, there's so much you can do with the universe. You could have, and we were joking before we recorded the podcast, but we were joking like, hey, they could make a pod racer movie. Why not? I mean, I don't think any of us actually want that, but I'm just saying, like, that's an idea.
Give me an example of one franchise that has had like a multitude of different movies that has not lost its integrity.
I don't think it exists, but I don't think there is a franchise like Star Wars.
Well, I mean, okay, so I'm thinking Star Trek.
Well, I don't think.
Right?
I don't think so.
There's like a gazillion Star Trek movies, which some would say are good and some would say are bad. And then there's, you know, different kind of amalgamations of different types of Star Trek, right? Yeah. So then you have like TNG and all of the others. Don't you think that as it progressed, that some of the shows that came that spawned like after the fact?
I mean, I don't think so. Yeah. I think there's two paths there. So Star Trek. The original Star Trek series was kind of based in kitsch and sci-fi, right? I mean, it wasn't like some like hardcore serious series. It was based at kind of around these characters and was kind of kitschy and kind of 60s, 70s-ish, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but at the time it was awesome.
Right, right. And the movies that came out in the early 80s that were Star Trek based with, oh my God, I just blanked on his name.
Shatner.
Shatner. Are kind of... You know, I mean, they're a little more serious than the show at times, but they're still based in that kind of kitsch, right? They still have that feeling. And the later series that started coming out around Star Trek, some of them got more serious. Some of them were a little bit more space sci-fi and a little less kitsch 70s.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know that it lost integrity. I think it just branched into new paths. I think they found ways to continue the series without keeping it 70s kitsch, you know, because that wouldn't have worked in 1998 or whatever when Next Generation was running, like, or you know what I mean? Like,
yeah,
and then the new movies by Abram are clearly like 2000s era Abram movies. Like they've got all the, you know, glitz and glamour of what a big sci-fi budget movie is now.
I would be more. I'd be more curious to know in what time period these spinoff movies are going to take place. If they're spinoffs mm-hmm. of like 7, 8, or 9, or if they're going to make like an Old Republic movie, or who the hell knows what.
Yeah, I mean, we really don't know, yeah. but it sure sounds like these are not going to necessarily be 7, 8, 9 spinoffs, that they're going to be based in the lore that has already been created and shown, I would imagine.
Yeah,
I'm really skeptic.
Stories or something, I don't know.
I don't know. So Lawrence Kasdan, the one guy, is I think tied to the 7th film too, and he's the writer of Return and Empire Strikes Back. He's one of the writers on both those mm-hmm. films. And then Simon Kinberg was the writer and producer of the most recent X-Men, Last Stand, or not Last Stand, or was he Last Stand?
First Class.
Movie. So,
yeah, I don't know. I feel like 4 through 6 are like precious jewels that I like do not want to relinquish. Like those are like the epitome of all things. Ah, like I don't have words to describe how much I love those Star Wars films.
But you could get a Boba Fett movie. We could get a bounty hunter movie.
Who
here.
Cares?
There's
See,
a lot of people
thing,
that
though.
Care.
I was in the same camp as you, Hillary, but then I started watching the Clone Wars and I realized that like the universe is so rich and there's so many characters that deserve more attention. And if they're approached in the right way, you can have these amazing spin-offs that don't detract at all from the original trilogy. You know, and it can still be fun. You can still, you know, have your awesome starship combat and droids and lightsabers and all that. And why not have more of it, you know?
I guess. I don't know.
You've convinced no one.
I know.
I don't know. It's one of those things where I get this way too about when a favorite game gets turned into an MMO. I just hope that the resources are still put behind the things that I really, really love. Like if they skimp on the Skywalker story, I'm going to be really mad. Cause that's like, I've been waiting for that forever for my like entire childhood, like
the
more
Skywalker continuation story.
Yeah. Like I'm waiting for 7 through 9. I never thought it was even possible. And now that I know that it is, I'm just hoping that the focus is on those. Yeah. I just hope that the resources are all put behind the ones that really matter to a lot of people.
But I think
I don't know if there's a good way to say that.
I agree. I understand your point of view, but I think the thing that like Scott was saying is that there are many different people care about many different characters. You know, mm-hmm. I mean, a lot of people do love Boba Fett. That's the only guy they want to see more story about, you know, and whether we like it or not, a lot of kids love the characters that were created in 1 through 3. Like they weren't failures of movies. They were actually, they did pretty damn well for themselves were children's movies for the most part. Mm-hmm. And a lot of people love those characters, so we're probably going to see some of that. You know, I mean, who knows?
I mean, the other thing that I would mention is that for a long time, I only read extended universe novels that took place after the original trilogy. And then I went back and started reading some of the older stuff. And mm-hmm. I kind of learned, and even with the newer books that focused on the older stuff, there are some really interesting stories that are told that are not just like hero's journey stories. You know what I mean? Like some of the more interesting novels that I've read in the expanded universe were about
the Trade Federation.
Yeah. About no. Well, actually,
like Grand Admiral Thrawn, those type books. I love those.
Well,
books.
I'm saying there was like a Darth Maul thriller that came out a long time ago. That was really good. Yeah. And, the book about Darth Plagueis is oddly like really fascinating. So, I just know that there are stories to tell.
The build up, you know? To Knights of the Old Republic. Is that Darth Plagueis? Well,
Darth Plagueis was before the Emperor.
Okay. Yeah.
Awesome. Isn't he the one that Palpatine killed?
Yeah, and that story is completely fascinating. So I think that you could tell a story, you know, the same way that they tell stories in Clone Wars universe that are not about, you know, main characters, but about things that are happening in the world. And I think they can be just as interesting, too. And I do think that, you know, the majority of the effort will be spent on the main three films. So I think we're okay. I think in the end, this will be good. For us.
Yeah,
I think so.
Fine. I will be cautiously optimistic.
There you go.
There you go. All right. Well, you guys want to take
convinced.
A quick, do you want to take a quick break and we'll
sure.
come back for some reviews?
Yeah. Yeah. Let's play All some right. music.
Let's do it.
Music.
Okay, we are back with our reviews. We're going to be talking about Warm Bodies, the film, and early impressions of Dead Space 3. And of course, Skulls of the Shogun, which I played a long time ago at PAX, and I'm really eager to hear what you guys think of it. So, Warm Bodies. Have you guys heard anything about Warm Bodies?
Isn't that like necrophilia?
I know it's a book, right?
It is a book.
It's a film.
I guess it's technically a YA book in many ways. It's a supernatural romance. I'm probably going to be wrong. Somebody's probably going to call me out, but one of the first supernatural romance books that revolves around a girl falling in love with a zombie.
Ew.
Yeah, right? So that's the first thing you think is ew. And so, I mean, it's a pretty interesting concept. They don't really tell you how the zombie apocalypse starts. It's a good ways into the zombie apocalypse. There are two like different factions, really, of zombies that exist in this world. There are like the zombies, like the recently deceased, and then there are ones that have been dead for a really, really long time, and they call them, I think, skeletons. And the skeletons are like, they move incredibly quickly, and they're all they're totally disfigured, and they kind of shamble around, and they're the more deadly of the two, you know.
They're more like wild, right?
Yeah, they're more wild,
like feral,
right? So Warm Bodies revolves around the life of a zombie, and his name is R, and the zombie named R, the movie actually starts off with him. He's actually, you're inside of his head, and he can't remember anything about his past. All he knows is that he goes throughout the same routine and kind of shambles around, I think an airport or something like that. And it's actually pretty damn funny. Like, you get to kind of see the world from the perspective of a zombie. So you get to hear like a zombie's narrative, which is pretty cool.
Sounds awesome.
And then all of a sudden he encounters a young female, and he starts to gain a little bit of his humanity back through, and he kind of falls in love with her, and starts to kind of try and chase her around and protect her from the other zombies. And slowly over the course of their interaction, her kind of being on the run from the other zombies and him, you know, trying to protect her, he regains his humanity, and he teaches the other zombies also how to regain their humanity.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. And it sounds super hokey, but you know what? I actually ended up really enjoying it. The guy that directed it, his name is Jonathan Levine, and he did that movie with Joseph Gordon-Levitt a couple years ago called 50-50.
Yeah.
I don't know if you guys saw that. He's a relative director, but he has an amazing eye. Like, the movie looks beautiful. You would think it's just going to be silly, but the cinematography is absolutely top notch. The music is really good. It's a silly romantic comedy about a girl that falls in love with a zombie. You're not going to get awesome action scenes, really. There's not any gore. I think it's PG-13. So
it's not like World War Z.
Definitely not like World War Z. But you know, I recommend it. I would say go see it. I went on opening night, and it was filled to the brim with teenagers. And at the end, the movie literally got a standing ovation in the theater. And I was sitting there like, it was okay, but I don't think of a standing ovation. But the youngsters absolutely loved it. So
it's a really popular book. Like, the book is like a bestseller kind of book. So,
well, I first heard of it from Melissa Kay talked about it on Reset Transmission for a couple weeks. And, you know, I love zombies. I've always loved zombies. So I was kind of interested to see what this was all about. And it was good. So definitely, if you're in the mood for something light and kind of funny, definitely check it out. So cool. In theaters now, Warm Bodies.
Cool.
Speaking of Warm Bodies.
Yeah, now on to something not light and not funny. Dead Space 3 came out today, you guys.
Woohoo!
Oh, boy. Shit.
So, I guess, how should we really talk about this? Because Scott is only probably a couple hours in each, and Hillary hasn't plugged it in yet.
Let's call this early impressions.
I just opened it. The package is beautiful.
There you go. That's weird, Hillary's Scott. Early exactly impressions.
The early impressions, that's what's written in the show notes.
All right, moving on.
All right, good. Hillary likes the box.
No, so my
what?
Whoa, hold on.
Wow.
I, I have no words.
It's the right amount of joke for me.
Yeah.
I may have used the wrong words.
Gobble, gobble.
Oh, speaking of, did you guys see that? Did you see that Katie Sackhoff is going to be in a movie coming out soon?
Oh.
Did.
Uh-oh.
What an
excellent segue.
Ghost
of Connecticut or something. I don't know. I can't wait to see it.
Oh, Katie Sackhoff. So Dead Space 3. I am shocked at how beautiful this game looks. First of all, visually, I'm kind of floored. Like the lighting, the character animations, like this, like it moves so seamlessly between like what are cutscenes and actual gameplay. Like I don't know how they did it. I mean, it's absolutely incredible how this game actually moves. You'll go from like falling out of a crashing spaceship to being on your feet without any load times or anything like that. So it's fucking unbelievable.
Yeah.
Is it like a demo, Scott?
Yeah. I mean, it's so much more, you know?
Oh, of course. But I mean, it's the same. I mean, the hanging upside down in the ice and all that stuff.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Okay. Yeah, because I thought that was gorgeous how they, I mean, the scene is not great. I mean, it's a great scene, but it's not like, it's like, this is so pretty, you're scared to death. But
yeah,
I thought that the way that they did it was like amazing.
Like many games do, like this one starts off with a bang. So things are pretty like fast and furious for the first like, you know, hour or two of the game. So it's definitely does a good job of roping you in. And, you know, to the credit of the design team, like how about like we really need more games that don't have a HUD like on the fourth wall. You know what I mean?
Yes, I love that. I think Dead Space is one of the first games to really do that.
Yeah, because you have all the information you need, like right on the rig, you know. And then if you go into the inventory screen, it's like he's looking at the inventory screen. And it's I always thought that was really impressive how they kind of put that together.
Absolutely.
Well, and I like the directional stuff too. So like if you do end up in a place that you're like, I'm not sure where I'm supposed to go, it'll give you like the magic path.
Yeah.
Yeah, and it makes a cool noise when it does it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Good sound design. Good graph. You know. Good.
It's amazing.
Visuals, the way that they, it's funny, I really like the way they animate faces.
They oh my kinda, gosh, yeah.
They kind of like do it almost in a nearly creepy way, but on purpose, you know, where you really see like the detail in their eyeballs. And I think that like does something, you know, internally to make people a little like on edge, you know.
Yeah, voice acting is definitely top notch in this one. And, you know, I definitely feel like I am playing, you know, an early Ridley Scott alien film.
Intense.
I mean, it's so, and to people that are bitching and pissing and moaning like this game's not scary anymore, it's fucking scary.
Yeah.
I was sitting
it's
there
super scary.
I was sitting there in the dark playing it. I was playing the single player version. There's shit popping out of the darkness at you, and if you want to pound your chest and be super macho and be like it's not scary, well then kudos to you, bro.
Well, yeah. No,
you're
so
not
scary.
Scared. Yay.
Even the demo had jump scares. I mean, I literally it was so intense. I couldn't, you know, I was like, oh my god, I'm so stressed out. I'm so stressed out. This is awesome.
Yeah.
So yeah, it's amazing.
I try.
Go ahead, Scott.
I was gonna say like. So far, I would not say that I'm like as scared, but I think that's not a product of the game. I think that's more a product of just being like a Dead Space veteran.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, and I think
it's the third time, right?
Yeah. And I think somewhere in the middle of the second game, I kind of took a turn where like I decided to like kind of be Isaac Clarke and just play like a person on the edge. You know what I mean? So
yeah.
I play very like recklessly when I play this game, and I feel like it's more fun that way, you know?
Hmm.
So absolutely. Like if a guy gets up on you, like I just start like swinging and stomping and shooting my weapon, like flailing and stuff, and it makes for a really crazy experience. Yeah,
I mean, I can understand the argument of people saying, you know, it may not be as scary as the others because the ammo count I feel is like a little bit higher so far.
Yeah,
at least on regular. I think it showed like in the difficulty selection that when you select higher difficulties, there's much less ammo, so it's going to be a little bit more terrifying. And I also started off with a lot of like the pre-order guns and stuff. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I'm not starting off with a pea shooter. I have like this crazy, like, you know, machine gun with a underslung shotgun. So I'm like, I'm already a pretty badass from the very beginning of the game.
Yeah. And I think the thing with the ammo that people might be looking over is that you can use that ammo and convert it into scrap so that you can build better mm-hmm. weapons.
Oh, okay.
So I think what's going to happen is when you get sort of more into the workbench thing, you'll find that you'll be managing your resources, not just in terms of weapons and ammo, but now weapons and ammo and crafting components, and whether or not you want to like turn your ammo into, you know, scraps, so you can build a better weapon, or, you know, turn something into scraps, so you can, you know, build another different type of consumable or something like that. So,
or upgrade your rig.
Or upgrade your rig. So there's a lot of, I think there's a lot of like moving parts. And so it's a little confusing. And the only thing that I'll say that I'm a little nervous about is as soon as you get to the workbench, you can go into the quote downloadable content section of the game and buy crafting materials like with real money. So I'm going to try to play through the game and not do that because I just don't know, like, I don't know where the balance is. It seems like putting that in the game might upset the balance of the game, but maybe it's there in case you're having trouble. I don't know.
I think it's there for people that just want a boost, you know, and hopefully, like you said, it hopefully doesn't come too slowly so that that becomes a necessity. But we'll have to kind of wait and see.
Plus, I mean, like, this is one of those games where, I think this game, cause like the last one, they had a mode, which was like a hardcore mode, meaning that, I think when you die, like, it's over, like, really over. So I don't think any amount of spending real-world money is going to prevent you from dying from one hit from a boss. You know what I mean? So
yeah,
I think when you're getting to a certain difficulty level, like, it does still become about your playing of the game and not, like, winning with your wallet. So I don't know. That was just, like, a thing I wanted to point out. But so far, everything is great. I think we're all doing single player runs first and then tackling co-op second.
Yeah. I think that's the way to go.
Cool. So Dead Space 3, more on that story as we develop it. Matt, tell us about Skulls of the Shogun.
11.
Yes. So Skulls of the Shogun is kind of what I have been waiting for with, with a Windows Phone. As many may have noticed, there has been a lacking article on a write-up on the Windows Phone. And to be dead honest, it's just because there hasn't... I don't think there's been anything to say that hasn't been said on other blogs, and I just don't really care to join the hooting and hollering of what the Windows Phone is and isn't. But the one thing it definitely lacked...
The Surface too.
Yeah, the one thing it definitely lacked was a game. Like, it's a Windows Phone with Xbox built in. The thing I expect is a top-tier title game for my phone. Like, that's what I want. You know, I want something I can do. And lo and behold, they release Skulls of the Shogun. It's cross-platform, so it comes out for Windows Phone, comes out for Surface, comes out for Xbox. You can play each other on any one of those platforms. So if you were playing on Xbox and you wanted to play me on my phone, the combat, supposedly, I haven't tried this yet, but supposedly the combat all smoothly works. And what Skulls of the Shogun is sort of a Advanced Wars type turn-based strategy game where you lead this shogun named Akamoto, I believe.
I think so.
And he has kind of a team of guys that you take around to defeat your enemy. And it's written very well. It's very witty. It's very jokey. Everything's kind of tongue-in-cheek. You're very angry because you've been killed, and you're in this dead world where you're like you're looking to basically kind of take it over because you're this great general from the living world of samurai, and you're leading your men into battle against evil dead guys, I guess, from your point of view. And the hook is that the dead guy you're going after, the main guy, calls himself Lord Akamoto, and is basically saying he's you. And you find out about a couple rounds in that it's not you, obviously. It's the guy that killed you took your place in the dead world, and you're trying to avenge your death and go after him.
Cool.
So the way the combat works is you have, right now I've dealt with four different kinds of units. You have yourself, which is the shogun guy. You kind of have to keep him protected because if you die, the round's over. You have archers, you have cavalry, you have infantry, and you have the next unit that you get after those three basic ones is this kind of magic healer who is a fox, I believe, or something. He's an animal. He's a spirit animal. And it's not a grid-based strategy game. So what it is when you click a guy, you'll get a circle of movement that you can move freely inside of that circle, and then you get a number of actions, either one or two, that you can do. And actions are things like attack. You can take over rice fields, which give you rice, which lets you build new units. Once you take over a building, that lets you build new units. And then you can also eat the skulls of the fallen dead that you killed, which will power your guy up. It actually heals you and gives you some extra power. And if you get three, you get to do more moves. You get to do two moves at a time.
You turn into like
become
a super
demon.
Unit. Yeah. If you
they call it
skulls.
Demon. And what is another action you can do? And then your healing guy can do spells, so he can heal you to gain life.
Did you get to the bit where there's like they have like the soldiers are having a conversation with Akamoto about whether or not they should eat the skulls of their own fallen comrades?
Yeah, and he's like, "Don't be disgusting." it's written really well. Yeah. Like there are multiple times where I've chuckled while I'm like reading the dialogue between things, and like they break the fourth wall sometimes, and they talk about things that you as a controller need to do like in the game, but like in a humorous way. So the art style is pretty cool. It's you know what you would expect from kind of a phone/tablet game. I am kind of interested to see how it looks on a TV on the Xbox, so I may pick it up just to see the difference. But it controls really well. Honestly, I have no negatives to say. I have heard that it's buggy on certain platforms. I can guarantee you, if you have a Windows phone, if you're one of the other 10 people that has one out there with me, it absolutely is not buggy on the phone. It's an amazing experience on the phone, and it is exactly what I've been waiting for the phone. Just a fun, awesome single-player game. So there is multiplayer, too. I haven't tried it yet. Scott, I don't know if you did on the tablet.
I haven't, but I was going to ask you, how much was it on Windows Phone to buy it?
I think it's $4.99 on every platform.
No. See, that's the interesting thing.
Oh,
is that
what was it on the tablet?
It's $4.99 on the phone. It's $10 on the Surface. And ooh. It's $15, I think, on Xbox
is
Live.
Is it $15 on the Xbox? Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Okay, so at $5, this is a totally good buy. At $10, I would say still probably a good buy. There is a lot of content inside of this game, especially for a phone game and a tablet game.
Yeah.
But for $15 on the Xbox, they might be pushing the price point there. I don't know that it's of the level of, like, I don't know, what's another $15 game?
Iron
like
Brigade
or Iron Brigade or one of it's not that. It's definitely,
I would say
$5 to $10 game.
If I would
it goes
say
on
that
like
if
a 50%
were,
sale, I'd pick it up.
Mm-hmm. If you were one of the other 10 owners that didn't have a Windows phone but had a Surface RT, you probably are aware of what the state of the Xbox Live enabled games are on the Surface. So this is definitely one that is going to brighten up your live tile interface.
Yeah, but it is absolutely fun. I mean, it is a really, really fun game. So one that, like, you know, as a Windows Phone owner, it's like, I kind of want to be like, haha, iPhones, you don't have Skulls of the Shogun. Like, it really is that good. It is a really good game. So,
why don't we try out some multiplayer this week, cross platform, and then we'll report next week about how that works?
We will report. And $15 is a lot. I may pick it up on Xbox. I really wasn't expecting $15. I'll check it out and see what the price is and report back on that. But for $5, definitely worth picking up.
Yeah, I will confirm that.
I don't know. Is there anything I didn't say about the game? I don't know if I missed anything, guys, if you have any questions.
I don't think so. I only had a chance to really check out the demo. And it's funny and it's good. So,
yeah, each match will last about anywhere from like 5 to 12 minutes, maybe tops, so far. I haven't reached anything that's lasted longer than that.
I played a three-player match at PAX, I want to say last year. They were there promoting it, and it was a lot of fun, and I had a really good time with it. So I'm glad that it's out. Hopefully it's doing well. It deserves to.
It is $15 on Xbox, $10 on Surface, and $5 on Windows Phone. So,
I mean, is it a different on the Xbox? That would be my main question.
No idea.
No, it's going to be the same.
That's weird.
Probably
so,
just how much licensing deals or something. Price points.
Yeah, I guess
marketing.
So. I'm sure costs more to put it on the Xbox than the mm-hmm. phone. But if you have the phone, pick it up. If you have the tablet, probably pick it up. And if you have the Xbox, it may be questionable at $15. But if it goes on sale, pick it up immediately because it's fun and a good time.
Sweet.
And if you love Advanced Wars, definitely pick it up because it is very Advanced Wars-ish.
Yes.
Ash has a sticker that he won't give.
I'll give it to you. You've earned it.
Nice. Oh, thanks.
All right.
Awesome.
Okay, guys, we'll be back in just a few minutes with our Naquato of the Week, which is all about our Naquato of the Week.
Really? Yeah. Your question of the week of the week?
ATM
of the week,
of the machine.
Of the machine. And our Naquato of the Week is about the PlayStation 4 and what's gonna make you get so excited that you run out and buy it day one if it is indeed actually going to be announced. So we'll be right back with our Naquato of the Week.
It's going
to
be more like 30 seconds. All right, so this week's Nerd Appropriate Question of the Week is...
Of the Week.
Of the Week. Question of the Week of the Week is, with the PS4 announcement looming on the horizon, what new features would make you purchase it day one? So I guess this is our opportunity to speculate wildly about what you want in the PS4, if that's actually what they're going to announce. So Justin Banks at Midtown 583 says... It'd have to have the Oasis built in a la Ready Player One. I still haven't read this book.
Yeah, none of us have.
Oh,
we don't get the reference.
we owe him a read of this book.
Something cool called the Oasis where there's like margaritas and like palm trees.
So it's supposed to... that's not what it is.
No, it's not. Okay.
Probably not.
Probably not.
So Geener at Regeener, if the PS4 had better online interaction capabilities unveiled with it too, then maybe. But honestly, I can wait.
I think many of us are in that same kind of boat.
Yeah. Matt, see, I don't know. Through a PS3 experience.
Yeah.
Here's the thing. I think that we're all kind of early adopters to certain things, and I
really because it took me 6 years to purchase a PS3.
Fine. Okay. I like to fancy myself as an early adopter, even though I still don't have my Surface that I've been lamenting about. But yeah, I don't know. I think I'm probably a day one purchase just because it is what it is. And I guess I'll answer the question for myself. If it has an amazing launch title that I have to play, yeah, I'm going to buy it.
What would that be? Like Uncharted 4, something like that?
Well, it'd be along the lines of like Last of Us.
Yeah.
Or something of that caliber. But yeah, Uncharted is an amazing game. But yeah, it would have to come with something like exclusive and completely like mind-blowing.
What was that alien game they had that was like along the lines of Gears? It was their Gears of War.
Resistance?
Yeah, Resistance.
Resistance.
Fall of Man.
That's going to be what they put out. Resistance 7 or whatever.
All right, Carlo at Platinum Fist says, needs to launch with a polished online experience. My PS3 is just a glorified Blu-ray player, and now that won't be exclusive. That's true. It looks like the new Xbox will probably have Blu-ray capabilities.
Kind of has to, right?
I mean, yeah.
It kind of does, right?
Yeah.
I would just be excited to play a Xbox game that fit on one disc, you know?
Yeah. Right. Absolutely. And I agree with Carlo. He makes a really good point. I think the online everything that the PlayStation did online, they did it wrong. Mm-hmm. The UI was messed up. It was laggy. I don't know.
PlayStation Home is really creepy.
It's weird. It's super weird, creepy. Right?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I don't get it. It just feels weird.
I don't want to be this person because I kind of don't like it when people are this person, but is there room anymore? I mean, I feel like Xbox almost won the online space at this point. You know, I mean, obviously Nintendo has zero care about getting into the game at the depth that Xbox has. Mm-hmm. And PS3 tried, but like you said, failed almost entirely on every aspect of their online experience. So, is there room, or did Xbox just kind of muscle in and take it over? And
I feel like there are still very loyal PlayStation fans, you know?
Well, and PlayStation, to be fair, PlayStation has a really solid game system. So, I mean, it's really fluid. And, you know, there's a lot of times where I even think that the PS3 today has better graphics in some games than Xbox. The thing with Xbox. In game.
Yep.
Oh, right. Totally yeah. Agree. But the thing in with Xbox is it's social. So, I mean, it's really hard. It's like, do you want your gamer points to be associated with your Xbox account, or do you want them, your achievements or your trophies to be, you know, with Sony? So, I don't know. It's for me, like, I have room for both because I like games that are completely solitary. And then I have, you know, then I have games where I want it to be part of the community, you know?
Mm-hmm. I agree.
So Ritzy at Ritzy Fox says, honestly, my Xbox has won my heart, not only because of specs, but because of my friends. Don't think I'll ever go back to PlayStation, which is to the point, the social point.
Yeah, and that's totally.
It's the same argument with like Facebook, which has just become this monster of a site, right? But everybody's on it. So how
do you
get out?
Just going to go where your friends are.
Yeah, like how do you leave when everybody that you know is already on it? Yeah. You really have like little choice in the matter, you know.
I mean, if PlayStation can actually offer up a better online social experience than Xbox, and everyone will willingly move over, can they pull it off? Probably not, but they're gonna try.
Mm-hmm. I mean, that's not to say that there aren't any faults with the current, you know, UI of the Xbox. Because I've certainly found many recently. So
yeah.
Do you still hit the Xbox button and just go from there? Because I find myself doing that all the time.
All the time.
Sorry.
Anyway, Jennifer R., Jenny the Pirate, says backwards compatibility.
And so the trend begins.
Yes, the backwards compatibility trend. Uh-oh. Do you guys care about this?
I am not one to throw in a PS2 game or anything, so no. But, I mean, I see the draw. But I don't have a big back catalog of games that I wish I could play. So.
Well, I've seen the comment, especially with the Xbox, that some people are like, I've got over 200 games downloaded on my hard drive. What happens when the new system comes out? You know, can I move those over? What's the deal? You know?
Right.
Mm-hmm.
The answer is no.
Probably not.
That might be a problem.
Not. Yeah. It's called get more HDMI ports for your TV.
I guess so.
Right?
It's called become a
shelf
PC.
Space.
Yeah. Natalie at Stumpy Nat says, if it wasn't the PS4 and was instead whatever new shiny Microsoft thing is putting out, I say this as a PS3 owner.
Interesting.
Yes.
Sony's not getting any love.
Yeah.
No love.
Yeah.
Jesse Lamb at Axel99 says, sadly enough, backwards compatibility. I completely missed the PS2 gaming era. If you could also get a PS4 bundled with a couple of games you would want, that would be nice too.
Let's just go ahead and tear through these really quick, because then Mike at Psychoholic66 says backwards compatibility. And the next one?
Matt Redshaw says backwards compatibility for the PS2.
Yeah, people want those games, man. PS2 was you forget that PS2 was the monster gaming system of the era. Like,
it was like the JRPG goldmine.
No, I had one. No, I know.
Yeah, I mean, we all did.
Yeah.
So it's like, I get it. I guess people just, I've never been the gamer to keep all of my old games and then want to continually play them. It's just not how I game, I guess. I don't know.
That would be amazing if Sony came out and they're like, PS4 with PS2 only backward compatibility.
Yeah, it's good.
Oh,
not PS3, not PS1. I guess the PS3 is like that now too, because you can play PS1 games but not PS2 games, right?
Mm-hmm.
So how about you, Ash?
I have a different answer from everybody else. I fucking hate the DualShock controller. I hate the PlayStation controller.
Yeah.
So,
really?
Yeah, I think the thing, if I actually got to feel the new PlayStation controller and it felt a little bit more like the 360 controller. Well, I mean, here's the deal. I honestly feel like the analog sticks on the DualShock for the PS3 are way too loose. Mm-hmm. It makes precision shooting and stuff way too difficult for me, especially when I'm used to the tension in the Xbox 360 controller. So that makes a big difference for me. It's weird, but like once you're playing a game on the PS3, once the game is actually in the system, it's a lot of fun. And the game is actually running, like, you know, playing Valkyria Chronicles or Infamous. Those are incredible games. I just getting them to, you know, where they need to be is kind of a pain in the ass.
Yeah, I'm kind of sick of that save load system where it brings up that common hood to the, you know, PS3 UI, and it's like tiles with your save game pictures on them. You know what I'm talking about?
It makes me crazy. I don't even.
Yeah, it drives me nuts. Just to your point, with this new controller, there it's rumored that it might be like the Vita and have a touch screen on the back, a touch like pad on the back.
Pad.
How do you feel about that? No. Okay, let me ask you this: what if it had a giant glowing ball of light at the end of the controller, and then you could just waggle that around? How about that? Would that work for you?
Oh, definitely. All I need is a giant glowing ball of light controller.
Waggle.
God, I just don't.
Waggle play is where it's at.
Wow.
I don't get it. I just don't know who's making these decisions for Sony.
I can tell you, it's because the Wii sold like a billion units, and then both Microsoft and Sony were like, we need to do something with motion control because it made Nintendo $1 billion. And
the difference
Microsoft won that one.
Yeah, the difference being that Microsoft didn't say we need to do what the Wii did. They said we need to come out with motion controllers and do it better.
Yeah.
And I think that, you know, as much as we complain about motion games, they obviously did a better job of at least making the system better. You know, I don't know.
Indeed. Yeah.
Hey guys, it's better with Kinect.
Better with Kinect. I think Waggle Play is a new type of fan fiction.
I just
Waggle Play. Amazing.
So Just D at Jushin says, I'd like to see cross chat and a faster operating system. I know people dislike installing games, but it's not an issue to me. We download and install PC games, no biggie.
I concur.
Yeah, I mean, it's not a biggie, except that like it needs the PS3 and the Xbox are horrible at offline downloading, or not offline, but sleep downloading games. Like, feel like every time I do it, somehow something goes wrong or it paused for no known reason whatsoever.
There's actually a response in here that we don't have that will totally back you up. And I'll get it for you.
That's always just a pain in the butt to me. And it's like, the thing that's awesome about Steam is that I can leave my laptop open and I can be down. I can have 5 games queued up to download. And when I come home, you know, at the end of the day, 2 of them will be downloaded or something, you know, ready to go.
Why don't you read this one?
I'll read Nate's because he went to the site and I appreciate that, Nate. I want you to know I appreciate you going to our website to comment. It says, I'd like to see a little more consistency and ease of use when it comes to both system and game updates. The console should be able to be in sleep mode, know what games I have, scan for updates, and download them appropriately. Same with my firmware. My games on Steam do this. Console should be no different. And that's what I'm saying. You know, that's
he is your doppelganger.
True. Yeah, Nate. Mm-hmm. Nate from Press Reset and I have the same opinions many times about this stuff, and I agree.
I think Ash is embellishing his answer.
Yeah, a little bit. So Sean at Hybrid 14 says, games, if they have a killer app for it, then it's a no-brainer. I'm with him on the first part. I don't know, I'm not really interested in an app, but that's just me and I'm bitter today, so sorry for that.
Well, do you guys have any?
Yeah, I'm taking Matt's place today. He's been too jolly.
I don't know why or how. I think that I mean, this is going to sound weird because it's not really a solid answer, like a solid feature.
Wait, what?
Well, listen, like I do not get excited about turning my PS3 on. It actually seems like a chore to me. And I never want to turn it on and play a game because every time I do, it's a pain in the butt. I barely understand how the damn thing works. I'll be honest. And I do this almost for a living. Like, I build it faces for a living and I get on the PS3 and I'm like, I don't know what the hell I'm doing on this thing. Like every time.
Yeah. Sean, I'm with you on the games train though.
So. Well, for me, it just needs to be... I want to have a thing that I want to use, and I don't want to use the PS3. I don't know how else to put that.
Yeah,
it needs to be a thing that I want to
use. So you want an app?
I want a face. That's
how are you relating to his question?
I'm not.
His answer. Scott asked,
back of the truck. Catch up the train here, Hillary. Scott asked about our opinions on the
PS3. Fine.
Oh, jeez.
Dust a while ago.
Sorry, Sean.
Sorry, Sean. I agree. If it has good games, I'll buy it. But I mean, I'm probably not an early. I I didn't buy the PS3 for a very long time because the only game it had for a long time that I wanted was Metal Gear, and it wasn't enough for me to drop.
Yeah,
they need to be reasonable too. I mean, can we all agree that like $600-$700 for a fucking release is way out of the range of reasonable price on a thing that you know date six months later with a better version that's quieter, you know?
unless it has some kind of new technology like Blu-ray. Like, I felt like it was justified to some degree when the PS3 came out.
I will give you that.
Yeah, but
it played PS2 games.
Yeah, well, I don't care about that. But basically, if it doesn't add some, if it doesn't give something to my living room or my family room that I don't already have, it's gonna be hard to pay that much money.
But sure. It won't, right? Because we're in that weird period where there is nothing new to put in it.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, honestly.
Yeah, I agree. Although I would say like having an interactive HUD on your. If it's, you know, if they have a screen on your controller that's similar to like the Wii Pad or whatever, I would actually get excited about that.
You know, else I think would be cool, and it's not going to happen with any of these. And Xbox would be the closest one to do this, and they're not going to do it either. I still kind of want that one box that rules it all. Like, plug in my Xbox, have it be my cable box, have it be my Blu-ray, have it be my gaming system. Like,
sure.
That'd be awesome.
Have it have integrated search across all of my media. Like, I kind of still want that thing that just makes my life easy when I turn on my TV.
No, I agree.
I want the Back to the Future house where you like talk to the walls and tell the lights to go down. I want it to control my entire house, not like my media, because media is awesome, but I'm like, I want to turn on the oven to 400 degrees.
Oh, yeah. Like Carousel of Progress.
Like fully integrated house.
But if you remember in Carousel of Progress, they ended up overcooking the turkey because the oven responded to the voice commands.
That's true.
Yep. Setting oven to 750 degrees. Grandma, you're a flying ace. There's a great, big, beautiful tomorrow.
Oh, man. Someone's been on that ride a couple times.
Disney's going to sue us now. I probably can't sing that song.
Probably not. Especially since you sung it so well.
Yeah.
Shining at the end of every day.
Oh, God. What's happening?
All right. Did everybody answer? Anybody not answer? Scott?
Actually, I did have a real answer, and I wanted to bring it back to games for a second. And the thing that even annoys me about the Xbox is seeing what is possible and then not seeing other games do it. So if you look at a main title like Halo 4, where it's a Microsoft title, so they can kind of do whatever they want to do with it, you can take that second disc and install all of the content to your hard drive, and then you never have to put it in again, right? So why don't we have that with other games? That's the first thing. And the other thing is, with a game like Halo being as popular as it is, it's got an entirely separate interface in Halo Waypoint to like extend the social experience. And not only that, they release episodic content, you know, at least for the first 10 weeks that the game is out. And, you know, it's nice to see that in a game like Halo, but then when you don't see it in other games, you're like, what's the deal? Nintendo is notorious for doing this too. They would do things with their first party titles that were like light years beyond things that would happen in the third party titles, like in terms of the using the technology and integration and stuff like that. So I would just like to see more stuff like that too. You know,
can I make one final point?
Yes.
Sony just came out with a website where you can surf their content. I think it's going to take a while before they do anything.
I mean, that was great when that happened with Xbox. Like, that's the type of stuff I'm talking about. Like, I want more integrated experiences.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah.
Cool.
Do you know what else that I don't think that either system really does that I wish they both did?
Go in and out of apps quickly and smoothly.
Oh, Jesus. Yeah. That's one of them.
Yeah.
Like, it knows everything I do on it, right? Like, it knows the movies I watch. It knows the games I play. It's aware of all this stuff that I do inside of the Xbox realm or the PS3 realm. So why doesn't it surface things that are actually relevant to me when I want to buy a game or watch a movie or play some music? Like, it does not. It's the dumbest system ever. It's just like, well, Justin Timberlake's new. Do you want to play that? And I'm like, yes, I do. But that's not because you knew it. It's just because that's what's new and popular right now. Like,
so you want it to be more like Amazon?
Yeah, or Google or Apple.
I think that's Xbox has one tile on the home screen that shows you something based on games you've already played.
Right,
and it's on the game screen.
That's just ridiculous. You know, when a new Xbox Live game comes out that I would be interested in based on the fact that I've played X, Y, and Z. Why doesn't that get featured to me as opposed to whatever the paid placement or whatever else Xbox has gets featured to me that has no relation to me whatsoever?
Because it's about that money.
Mm-hmm. I know. I just,
you know what I would like? I would like news alerts in my Xbox.
What do you
like? Real news?
Like the way, like, yeah, the way that Google, like, okay, so for example, when you set up a Google alert, you get emailed, or you just can go to the news page and it's content that's right. specific to your search criteria. Why not have something like gaming news, like a gaming news section, so that, you know what I mean? Like, I mean,
they have it, but they don't really do anything with it. It just kind of sits on the
like
front
a personal
page.
Feed. So, like, you would put like in, you're like, I am interested in. Like Western RPGs. So anytime there's Western RPG news, you'd go to your feed and there it is, right?
Exactly.
Yeah.
Didn't when Xbox introduced that concept of what do they call them? Beacons.
Yeah.
Didn't that sound like the most amazing thing and now has become the most worthless thing I've ever set up? It's an annoyance to me now when it's like Bobby wants to play Halo 4 and I'm like, okay, well I forgot to turn it off. I'm sorry, I'm not playing Halo 4 anymore. Like, why are you still telling me this? Like, I feel like it's another thing I have to manage in my life now as opposed to
it's a weird
like something
system,
that's useful.
To be sure.
Yeah, and also like I'm not a big fan of this, while we're on this rant. I'm not a big fan of the direct messages with an Xbox. Like, I get it. I get why people do that, and I've even gotten voicemails, which is kind of strange to get through Xbox. But like sometimes I don't want to be interrupted in the course of my gameplay because someone left me a message. At the same time, you can't turn it off because you don't want your notifications to stop.
I'll tell you what's going to happen.
In case you get achievements.
In Xbox 720, you know what's going to happen? It's going to be Skype integrated into it.
I think
you better get ready for
Skype
that.
Skype is the only... Yeah, Ash,
that's
when you...
Amazing.
As proof to Scott, Ash, when you write me through Facebook, right? As what I'm assuming you're writing me through.
Yeah.
I get Skype chats on my phone.
Oh, weird.
That's what it translates into. And
that's
it's weird.
So weird.
So there you go.
We will see.
Well, that was a nice little impromptu discussion.
It was.
Yay!
Yeah.
Ash, awesome. Do you want to take us home?
Sure. As always, guys, thank you so much for tuning in to episode 91 of the Rated NA podcast. We have a couple shout-outs this week. First of all, we wanted to give a shout-out to Jessica Marizan, who was on here last week, and it was a lot of fun. It was a super fun episode.
Yay,
and
Jessica!
Yeah, if you didn't tune in to episode 90, she talked a lot about her transition from being a normal, average person to being the community manager over at BioWare, and also her show,
Try This at Home.
Try This at Home.
And knife throwing. We talked about knife throwing.
Knife throwing, yeah.
And Keysable.
Yes. And what else? Oh, so
fighting bears.
I also want to give
zombies.
A shout out to Bones TB, who gave us a rating on iTunes this week.
Yay.
So
yay.
If you ever want a shout out, just head on over to iTunes.
And I just want to say, if he does have tuberculosis, I'm concerned. And I hope he gets it checked out.
Yes. Especially if he has tuberculosis of the bones.
Yeah.
Because that would be
that's really bad.
That's the worst kind of TB to get.
It
oh,
is.
Oh, man.
As always, you guys can find us on the old Facebook. So if you go to Facebook.com/nerdappropriate, we'll be there lurking around, looking at faces, I guess. That's what you do on Facebook, right?
Sure.
You can
rating
find
things
us.
Hot or not.
Yeah. Wow. Like us. Like our faces. You can find us on Twitter at nerdappropriate. We're on Google Plus.
Supposedly.
Yeah, and you can contact us directly, Matt, Ash, Hillary1L, or Scott at nerdappropriate.com, and we will respond to your emails. Don't keep sending so many emails, guys, because really
flooded.
I don't know.
Flooded. My phone keeps going off. It's crazy.
Yeah. It's just, okay, we'll write you back eventually. Just be patient. And as always, final thanks to our good buddy, Jimmy Hinson, who is Big Giant Circles, for our amazing theme song.
Yay!
Sweet.
Yay! And we'll see
all right, guys.
Week.
See you next week.
Thanks for listening.
Bye, everyone. just opened it. The package is beautiful.
All right, moving on.
All right, good. Hillary likes the box.
No, so my
what?
Whoa, hold on.
Wow.
I have no words.
It's the right amount of joke for me.
Yeah.
I may have used the wrong words.
Gobble, gobble.